Well, I'm still talking about prayer, and this is the third of what I'm calling Pray Now. And I talked about a couple of limitations or distractions to our prayer life last week, but I want to begin this way as an introduction to say this. This thing that I learned as a small child, God is love. I heard it, I saw it, I just soaked up and saturated that atmosphere. This truth isn't just good theology, it's the foundation of everything we've been talking about in recent weeks. Because God is love, he loves us, he loves you, he loves me. And because of that, I've been saying this, and I want you to get this on the flyleaf of your mind, our presence, our prayers, are his love language. Did you know that? Our presence, our prayers, our communication. Communication is his love language. He wants that from all of us. So I remind you today that no matter where you are, where you've been, that God is not distant, that God of love. He's not cold. He's not ignoring you. He created you and me for a daily, all-season relationship, I'll call it. And prayer is how that relationship, if you will, gets oxygen. It gets refreshment. So, they sang, don't stop praying. It occurred to me that I probably ought to say before that, some of us ought to just start praying. How about that? Just start praying, and once you do, don't stop praying. We've been bouncing off of a couple of scriptures that I'll renew in John 14:13. You can ask for anything in my name. We've talked about that. That is so key. And I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And I remind you again that in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's important, the praise factor. But also the second one is, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's right at the top of that prayer. And that means we pray out of that scripture in John 12:28 a day. Father, my desire in my prayer life, in my life as I live day in, day out to bring glory to your name. Have you ever had this experience, a close friend? Somehow you're not even sure, you just drifted away and you haven't talked to them in not just weeks, but months or even years. Have you ever had that happen? I've been thinking about it. I had time to prepare and think about it. And then after a while, you finally meet up with them again. And it's a little awkward because you're trying to figure out or explain about the distance of no contact, especially now that it's so easy to do that. But once you start that conversation again, have you experienced this? Once you do, you kind of pick up right where you left off. Have you ever had that happen? And you end up wondering, walking away and wondering again, why did this distance happen in the first place and for so long? Dixie and I've told you, we've just been renewed with friends who are now in Florida that were a part of our church in Indianapolis. 30 plus years have gone by, and after all these years, it's like, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Now, I want you to frame that, because prayer can sometimes feel like that when there's distance. But here's the good news. No matter what the communication level you've had with Jesus, with the Father, he's leaning in today and he's saying to you, no matter where, I mean you, right now, not before, after, I mean right now, he's leaning in and he's saying, just talk to me. I want to hear your voice. Let's catch up, if you will. And when that happens, daily communication can be quickly restored and the relationship, listen, can be better than ever. Did you hear me? Some of you think that their relationship with God, the intimacy, is the thing of the past, but I'm telling you, when you start that communication again, he wants to take your place. Your relationship has never been and can be better than it's ever been before. Does anybody believe that? We have testimonies here. Maybe you're in a time of wondering, you struggled, and there's distance here. He's calling your name, and he's calling you back. Hello, hello, it's me. He's waiting, he's looking, he's listening. I was thinking when Pastor Joel was doing the baby dedication and saying all of our kids and grands are a problem. We had a little coaching session. I said the word's blessing. Because, you know, it's all how you say blessing. It's not just blessing, it's blessing, you know what I'm saying. But I thought about this, Pastor Joel, watching your child sleep. Have you ever done that, your kids, or you've just watched your kids or grands sleeping? Have you ever done that beside me? Help me out. You remember, you just stood there, awestruck. You're just gazing, and you just have this tender look on your face, and you begin smiling. And you know what? It's not because of how they behave that day. You're just loving them for no reason, except they're yours. Huh? Listen, you love them for whose and who they are. You love them for who they are, but you love them for whose you are. Are you getting the drift? If that's true of us and God created so many good things, that's, I want to tell you, how God looks at you. Even before you pray a word, before you come to Him, He's looking, He's got the look of love going your direction. He already loves you. He's proved it. He's provided. He's made provision. Prayer isn't convincing Him to love you because you talked to Him enough. It's just stepping into, living into, leaning into that love. He's already provided. Everything you need, He's already provided. We live in a culture where if someone doesn't reply to our text within our expected time frame, we feel ignored, slighted, and sometimes we even feel unloved. Come on, are you out there? Somebody owes you a text, and you may see them on Sunday, and you avoid them because they haven't texted you back. You know. Oh, don't you love this one? You're in the middle of a text string, and all of a sudden they disappear. I mean, right? They just look like it's a hanging note or something. They're gone. Maybe sometimes prayer feels a little bit like that. God, did you get my message? Hello out there. Is anyone out there? But I've been reminding you that God's silence is not absence. And sometimes He may be bringing an answer that is way bigger than your ask, according to His riches, His wisdom and knowledge. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful. There's the words, the springboard for these messages. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. So my thought is that maybe we can't always be joyful if we stop praying. Maybe that's why some of us lack joy today. Or maybe if we start praying again, it'll open up that joy circuit again. It goes on. Be thankful in all circumstances. I've landed on that. Not circumstantial. For this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. In other words, that's the mark of belongers. You never stop praying. The mark of a belonger is the joy of Jesus in you because you've got that connection going continually, constantly. Paul doesn't say in this passage, pray when it's easy. He doesn't say, and I wish he did, pray when you feel like it. He doesn't say, pray when you need something. He says, never stop praying. Never. Prayer isn't about bending God's ear and will to our plan. It's about knowing God so we can know Him and live out, live in the center of His will. That's a land of no regret, I can tell you that. In prayer, it's in prayer and surrender, submission, that we're conformed to His image. So, as the song says, don't stop praying. Maybe it's like this. I'm trying to come up with things that will help you relate, but does anybody... Wait a minute, let's get personal. Did anybody need the GPS to get to church today? Some of us use it whether we need it or not. But you know, when we engage that, and I'm thankful for it many times, the goal isn't to tell GPS how you want to go. It's to hear the route that you should take. Yes? And I know some of you think you know more than her, and you talk back to her. Yeah, yeah. Dixie tried that once, and whatever she was on, Siri responded like, that's not a very nice way to talk to me. I won't tell you what she said. Ask her. I'm sure it was a Christianized version of frustration. What route should we go? So my connection is this. Prayer doesn't exist to get God on our route. It exists to get us on His route, to follow Him. I guess if you knew the way to go, you would need it. True? Last week, we talked about two limitations or limiters. We talked about broken relationships, and I pray that God's Spirit has used that to say in prayer, there's some things that you need to initiate to make right. You need to get those things out of the way. And then we talked about the motivations of our heart. And today I just want to add a couple more in these minutes remaining. And the first one would be low faith, I'll call it. It could be zero faith. You may be in the zero, little to zero faith category today. And we know what the scripture says about the faith size of a mustard seed, and we'll talk about that. But Jeremiah 29:11, that's often used and quoted many times in recent years, more than I remember. But here it goes, verse 11. God speaking, "For I know the plans I have for you." Could somebody just say, "I know, Sheldon," not you, but could everybody else just say, "For me"? For me? Like, question mark? "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord," or declares the Lord. "They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope and a future," some translations say. In our evangelism training last week, yesterday, Bruce, who has been involved with Alpha and is so evangelistic and has a gift of evangelism for sure, but he asked everybody in the room, he said, "Do you believe the Bible?" And so I'll echo that today. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? What do you think? Yes, mostly online, I can't hear you. Raise your hand online if you believe the Bible, would you? Okay, so if that's true, do you believe this promise regardless of your circumstances? If not, I guess I could ask you this. What part of the Bible do you believe or don't you believe? I want to believe all of it. How about you? This promise is true. If we receive God's word, again, regardless of our circumstances, we embrace the truth, the promises of God. Sometimes, I know, we're human and we have feelings, and sometimes when we pray, we're quietly thinking or having that deep feeling maybe that I don't know if God wants me to fill in the blank. We're sometimes uncertain about God's will. And sometimes I think it even begins to create doubt, and we begin to wonder if he can do because he hasn't. If you look at Mark chapter 9 and you read up some verses, I'll just pick up in 22b, but the disciples are having a problem because someone's brought to Jesus with a little boy and that they couldn't take care of it in a spiritual sense. And so they brought him to Jesus, and the father said something like this, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Do you ever feel that way, pray that way? He came to Jesus, the source, the Messiah, the Son of God, and he said, "Help us, have mercy on us, if you can." Verse 23, Jesus said, "If I can?" How would you say that? I don't think he was harsh and stern, but there must have been a question in his voice and tone. What do you mean, "if I can"? Jesus asked, "Anything is possible if a person believes." It's not just believing anything we want, but it's in whom we believe. Do you understand that? The object of our faith is not faith. The object of our faith is an almighty conquering God. The object is to align ourselves with his kingdom and his will. The Father, verse 24, here we are, this is us. The Father instantly cried out, "Oh, Jesus, I do believe." But this translation says, "But help me not to doubt." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that. Can anybody else beside me relate to that? I do believe, but help me not to doubt. I believe that a prayer like this, an example in Scripture, touches and moves the heart of God somehow. Because I believe he's saying and showing us that we don't have to have perfect faith. There's no such thing, humanly speaking. But we need to have genuine faith in a perfect God. How many of you know God is perfect and his word is true and his promises are true? I better read that again. We are to have just a little bit of genuine faith, even mixed with a little doubt, it's okay. But where faith is in a perfect God who can do all things. I love, as I've mentioned, his honesty in this man, his honesty before Jesus. I mean, Jesus knew his heart. He saw right through him. Again, basically saying, I have faith and doubt at the same time. And I think the ad would be, Jesus, help me with both. Increase my faith and decrease my doubt. He came with that, if you can, and Jesus still looked at him eye to eye and heart to heart, and he still answered him. What is that gal saying, Wilson? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Huh? That's who he is. That's what he does. This isn't just a Bible story. He's saying, read it and smile, because what's true for that man is true for you. I don't change like shifting shadows. He said, Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, in response, you don't have enough faith. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, and that's very, very small, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. That's not about self-confidence. That's not about faith in faith. That's about God confidence, who he is. God gives a gift of faith. It's so easy for us to grab the gift and try to worship that and make that king, Lord. I remember as a kid various times, my uncle had a lot of space and acreage, and they had all kinds of nature things, and he had a rope bridge, a swinging bridge. Has anybody ever walked across those? I mean, that's enough to give you nightmares when you're a kid. I mean, you know, it's just swaying in the wind, and you're trying to navigate it a step at a time, even if it's safe. I mean, there's no slats missing. But when you make it across, regardless of your fear level, you remember the bridge held you. It's not your confidence, it's the bridge. Hebrews 11:6, in that wonderful chapter of faith, and you ought to read the whole thing regularly, monthly, for a year. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith in him. Openness with him. Owning our doubt, owning our questions, but unlimited God confidence. I want to read that again, what I said just a few moments ago. Humans like us, we don't have perfect faith. We never will. We don't have God figured out, so we'll do the same thing we did last time and expect the same result. Our faith is never perfect. God doesn't perform for us. But we need to have a genuine faith, no matter how small it is, just a wisp of faith in a perfect God. Does anybody believe God is perfect? I do. Even a prayer that says, help my unbelief, help me not to doubt. Faith-filled prayers. Believing God will help you to believe. And I think it's entirely appropriate sometimes to pray, Lord, help me to be willing to be willing. Has anybody ever had a start there besides me? I'm not even willing. So could you work with my willingness? I want to be willing to be willing. Well, there's more we could talk about for sure, but it's not the amount of your faith as much as the genuineness, the heartfelt nature, the absolute God-trusting faith. That's the place to begin. Questions and all. And here's one that isn't necessarily it's not a negative in any way, shape, or form, but I'll just call it, could it be that God has a better plan in mind? Could it be that you're aiming way too low? Huh? Sometimes God's answers are not what we want, what we expect. But it's not because he's distant, and it's not because he's ignoring us, but because he sees the big picture. He has the aerial view. He has the long view, if you will. Many of you have heard the story of Paul, the great apostle. I mean, unbelievable man of God. God did so much through him, through his surrendered life. And at a time in his life, I'm not sure exactly when in his ministry it happened, but he begged God to take away that thorn, and we've talked about that before, but the Bible says he specifically did it. He pleaded with God three times. And finally, how did God respond? In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it is recorded, God said, listen, this is for us, not just Paul. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. In other words, through your weakness, admitted weakness, my strength can flow. But so many times, I often say, we tend to operate in the weakness of our own strength, and that's exactly what it is, and that doesn't leave much God room in our lives. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Is that encouraging to anybody? Paul's no, in other words, in that specific case, listen to this, turned out to be a reoccurring display of God's grace. His life became a platform for the display of God's grace. God says no, or he says wait, not yet, because he sees what we cannot see. And his answer, again, isn't always what we want or expect, but it's always what we need, but sometimes we don't see it until we look back and reflect. When I think about God's better plan, I can't help but go to a favorite passage of mine in Romans 11:33 that says, so, speaking to us humans, imperfect, how impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and methods. Do you believe the Bible? This is his word. For 34 says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? 1 John 5, we read, we are confident that he hears us and will give us what pleases him. I love that, don't you? Your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm confident that he hears, and I've got a little bit of genuine faith that I'm going to exert, and I believe he'll give me what pleases him. Sometimes I may know that, but other times I may not. Sometimes our prayer life is like holding a piece of puzzle. Around our home growing up, we put jigsaw puzzle together, and the more pieces and the harder it was, the better it was, and we'd have it on a table and we'd build the frame. And did you ever have that? I mean, we sometimes try to take a piece of puzzle and we can't find it. We don't think it fits, and we put it aside, put it aside. And yet that becomes not the thing we focus on, but that becomes a part of the whole picture that once assembled makes total sense. I'm thinking about God's protection and provision. Let's go back to our GPS thought. Has yours ever rerouted you? Have you ever gotten frustrated because it's rerouted you in a way that's longer time, etc.? You start feeling that frustration rise, and you're about ready to talk back to her, until you see down the road a little bit, no matter what, traffic is at a standstill, there's construction or an accident, so they rerouted you in another direction. And I just want to say, God may be in the process of rerouting you and me, and that's not punishment, that is protection, and that is provision. So maybe we need to hear God's whisper sometimes, recalculating. Maybe that's a better plan. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? At our house, Dixie rolls out the appetizers so often on Sundays or whenever, and our grands gobble up so much of that they're not hungry for their dinner. They want to go right from the appetizers to the goodies, the desserts. And you know, sometimes as parents and grands, and we're not really good about saying no a lot of times. I think we're better saying no to our kids than our grands, but we don't say no to them sometimes because we don't love them. It's because we want to give them something better later. We might want to take them to Harsler's Dairy on the way home. Are you getting the drift here? God knows better than I do. I love that song. You know better than I. You know the way. I've let go the need to know why. I'll take what answers you supply. You know better than I. God has something in mind for you that's better than you could imagine. Please get this quote. I've checked it a number of ways. It's credited to Tim Keller, a very wise pastor in New York City for years, who's fairly recently died. Listen about this. That's better planned. Listen, I want you to get this. There's a play on words here. God will give us what we would have asked for if we knew everything he knows. Is that good? I wish I would have thought that up. I want to say it again. God will give us what we would have asked for, what would please him, if we knew everything he knows. But how's your faith muscle today? Do you believe he knows? Can you trust him with that uncertain thing that you don't understand, knowing that you're not God, but he is? And we don't worship ourselves in our way. We bow down and worship him. God, you know better than I. I'm going to entrust this person. I'm going to entrust this situation to you. I'm not going to rise and fall by my circumstances, by my feelings. They're real. My feelings are, but they lie many times. Wow, that's a great thought. God will give us what we would have asked for if we knew everything he knows. Sometimes I'm suggesting that God's best answer is not giving us what we want, but giving us himself. That's what he did for Paul. His presence. I am with you always. No, Paul didn't get the healing he prayed for, that he begged for, the scriptures say. But he got grace. Has anybody else ever got grace? That may need to be proper. Has anybody gotten grace? I like got grace better, don't you? God's grace is best. God's grace is a better way. God's grace displayed on the platform, on our lives and through our lives, becomes a powerful testimony and witness. I'll never forget Bruce yesterday saying, it's not planet fitness, it's planet witness. It's hard for somebody to get away when you're telling about Jesus when they're on some weight machine, you know, on a treadmill. If they try to get off, it'll spit them out backwards, you know. I love that. Well, let me wrap it up before we sing and pray. This is a decisive moment. It is. And I want to tell you today, on the authority of God's word, we believe the Bible, we believe God's word is truth, and we believe God is who he says he is, all of it. I want to tell you the news is, and that's what this song was about, you can stop carrying the weight of doubt, of disappointment, of frustration, of distress, or having to fix it, or whatever you want to fill in. And God's here. He's calling you. He's leaning in. He said, let's chat. Let's begin. Let's get back to it. He's not shaming you. He's inviting you to come closer. He's inviting you to come just as you are. No matter where you've come from, bring your small but genuine faith. Bring him your hurt places, all the lists that you sang about. Bring your addictions, whatever the case may be. Bring him your no way, and he'll make a way. Bring to him the outcomes and your lack of understanding. He's whispering, can you hear him, to your heart? Let me strengthen your faith. Let me hold you. In the waiting, let me hold you. Lean into me. Trust my better plan. Maybe we just need to pray that humble prayer today. God, you know better than I. Again, faith isn't about having perfected confidence down pat. It's about who is holding you. God's grace is able to hold us steady, like right now. Right now. So in light of that, we go to Philippians 4:6. Here's the admonition. Don't worry about anything. Stop your worrying. It's wearing you and everybody else out. Instead, pray
about everything. Tell God what you need from your perspective and thank Him for all He has done. Wow. Then, verse 7, then you will experience God's peace. That's another form of grace, God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand or figure out. His peace will absolutely guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, as He lives in you, as His grace is applied to your life. You will experience God's peace. I want His peace. Do you?